Well, let's get started for Thirst, and we have a very special experience to do together. We're going to do a meditation on one of Rembrandt's great paintings, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. And this is based on Mark chapter 4, the story that we all know so well of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, and there's a storm that comes, and Jesus is sleeping. So we're going to do a meditation on that, first on the scripture passage, and then we're going to use Rembrandt's meditation on the scripture passage that became a painting. So I'm going to pass that around for all of you, and we're going to meditate on the painting just like we would meditate on the scripture and try to listen to what God might be saying to us about the storms in our life. So that's our main entree for the evening. I've done this exercise a number of times personally and with some groups, and it's really been helpful for people, very encouraging. So I know that it will be for you also. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, Father, for the great blessing that we have to be gathered here together in Jesus' name and to be among friends, even if we haven't all been yet acquainted. We are our friends because we're friends in Christ, and we're here to seek you, Lord, and we just pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts anew to this story that we know so well, but maybe there is some new insights for us in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And maybe we could hear your voice as to what you want to say to us about how we deal with the storms in our own lives today. We love your words, Jesus. Peace, be still. And every one of us would say, we need more of that. Show us, Lord, where this peace comes from and how we can be at peace with you even in storms, and how it is ultimately your peace that calms storms. So we're looking to you and we're listening to you, O risen Christ, thankful that you're here in our midst to be our teacher. We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. So Christy's going to open us with a story about how you're dealing with storms and finding the peace of Christ. Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Well, meditating on Christ being our peace in the midst of a storm has been really helpful to me, and something that has been a good reoccurring practice for me of learning to look to Jesus in the storms of my life. Remember, just a little over a year ago, I had been doing a meditation on this passage of Scripture and really praying that I would be the kind of person that would be quick to look to Jesus in the storms of my life rather than trying to get out of it or complain or just be panicked and trying to secure myself. And one particular morning I was praying that, and I was praying, you know, just in general about that in anticipation. I wasn't particularly identified any concrete storm I was in at the moment, like I can tonight. But it was interesting because it wasn't an hour later after doing that I got a phone call from our daughter's friend saying, Jenny's fallen on rollerblades and she's hurt her wrist and she needs to go to the emergency room. And Jenny is our daughter that was in college at the time, a Biola student, and she was on a SOS orientation leaders retreat, and they had gone rollerblading and she'd gone backwards to take a picture and had fallen. And so we drove over to meet her in the emergency room, and she was in a lot of pain, and she was crying, and, you know, you wait a long time in those situations before you can see, especially if it's an accident like that where it's not, you know, like, messy or something. And so she was in a lot of pain, and she was crying, and she was saying, Mom, what about Honduras? Because she was supposed to be going to Honduras in a couple of weeks to dig wells to bring water to a village there that didn't have any clean water. And she's like, I'm not going to be able to dig. And you had to sign a form that you had no physical limitations and you could dig. And, you know, and so she was all upset about that. And I having been meditating on Jesus being peace in the storm, I was able to minister that to her. And, you know, this is no surprise to him. He's here with you. He has a purpose for you. you know, this isn't going to ruin his purposes for you or for the village in Honduras. And then she says, what about our race? She'd been training with Bill to run a 9-mile race in the hills of San Diego. And it was a big deal for her. She'd never run nine miles before. She'd never done a big race like this. And she was, you know, training so hard I'm not going to be able to run. And, you know, so she was worried about that too. And there again, you know, just able to minister to that and pray even with and for her. That we would be able to be filled with God's peace in this storm and look for that and live in that. And, of course, God in his faithfulness, you know, provided. And even though she, you know, had to have a splint, she was able to still 2 weeks later run the race. She was in a little bit of pain in her arm from the jarring, but she was able to run it and complete the race. And then she was able to go to Honduras. And because she wasn't able to dig the wells, she was able to really minister to the women and the children who were left behind in the village to cook for everybody all the meals. And it was a really special experience because she really got to see the power of the Holy Spirit moving and ministering through her in a way that was different than if she had been with the other students digging. And so she was able to experience that peace in her storm too. So this is something that we can do for ourselves, certainly, which is what we've been doing, but it's also something that God will use for us to overflow to others and to be able to encourage and minister to others in their storms too. It's not unusual for me in meeting with people sometimes to have people who will really be in a memory that's very painful for them. It's just a memory of a storm in their life. And they, maybe it's been years and years ago, but they're having a lot of emotion and it feels very current to them because it's been re-triggered or something like that. And one of the things that God often will lead me to do in that situation is to say, well, let's go back into the memory of that storm and pray and ask for him, for Jesus to open your eyes to where he was at that time and to see where was Jesus in your storm, because he was there. And let's look. And it's so powerful and so exciting to see how they come to see Jesus in that storm and how he was there and they weren't alone, and how that most of the time, and even just 2 weeks ago, I was doing this with a woman who had a really painful experience at church triggered for her. She'd gone to church on a Sunday morning and it triggered an experience when she was a teenager at church. And as we went back and we went back to that painful experience that she had happened, where she was really shamed at church by somebody who wasn't really able to love her, in a vulnerable place, not only was she able to sense God's peace with her in that storm, but she was able to see Jesus' love for that person who injured her, who shamed her, who hurt her. And she was able to, from the peace she received from him, extend grace and compassion and forgiveness to that person too, and see Christ's love for him as well as for herself. And so I think it's important for us to realize that God reveals himself to us through his word, definitely, through his creation, definitely. And just as the Lord can speak to us in those ways and through each other, he also can speak to us through his creation. And in this case tonight, we're going to be looking at and inviting Jesus to speak to us as we meditate on his word in this scripture passage about this experience of the disciples in the storm and Jesus asleep in the boat, but also in Rembrandt's painting of that. And in that sense, we're looking at a picture of creation, too, in that, of God's creation and how he can reveal himself through that, too. So I would encourage you to really, it will be most helpful to you if you can identify a storm in your life that you need to see that Jesus is there speaking, peace be still to you in. For me, that's kind of easy. Today was decision day for colleges. And I have a student who's a senior in high school, and she doesn't have a decision about college for the fall. She's on the waiting list for her two top college choices. She doesn't know if she's going to get to go there or not. And then I have a 20-year-old daughter who wants to transfer to a different college, and finances are preventing that. And so there's some storms there that I have the opportunity to see Jesus in the boat with us in these storms and the unpredictableness of their life and their future and their next steps, that Jesus is with us in the boat, speaking to us.
Thanks, honey. So a fundamental thing that Christy's talking about there is the, like when she's praying for that person to, in the healing prayer, and to experience the peace of Christ, she's inviting her into the spiritual reality of God's kingdom, which is here and now available to us. And that's where the source of peace is. And so as we go to this meditation from Mark chapter 4, and as we look at Rembrandt's painting, just try to keep in mind that framework, that, and this is true with any scripture, really, that we might study, and it's fundamental to our life in Christ, that we're bi-habitational creatures. We have two habitats that we live in. One is this visible world, and then the other is the invisible realm of God's kingdom. And we want to learn how to live in the spiritual reality where Jesus Christ is, and where his arms are open to us, and where he's leading us on the path of life, the path that is truly life. And that's the only way we can make sense of Jesus' behavior in the boat as we go into this meditation, is that he's in another realm. He's not just in the boat. He's also in the arms of the Father. He's in the kingdom of God. That's good news, because Jesus is showing us how we can learn to live in that realm as well. Because the kingdom of God is not just heaven when we die. The heavens touch down to earth. And the kingdom is the realm of God's rule. It's what Jesus came to bring, is the government of God. So we can learn little by little more and more to live in that realm, until one day in glory we'll be fully in. It'll be completely manifested. And I guess we'll no longer need to be bi-habitational. We'll just be in one habitat, and we'll have the fullness of God's kingdom. We're certainly a long ways from experiencing that now, but we can experience it more and more. So the exercise we're going to do, spiritual directors call this Visio Divina, which is just a play on words. You've probably heard of Lexio Divina. It's become fairly popular, which is a way, we've done it here at Thirst. It's Lexio Divina is a way of meditating on a scripture passage. It's an ancient way, and Lexio Divina is just a Latin word for divine reading. Well, Visio Divina is a spin-off of that, and the word visio has it with like visualize. And so it's just basically praying, using a picture to help you pray. It's really all that it's about. In this case, the picture is Rembrandt's meditation on the passage in Mark chapter 4. Something I really like about Visio Divina is that when you're working with a picture, it's very easy to sort of bring into your experience with the picture some of your own feelings and life experiences. And so, you know, what you see in this painting might be different than what I see. And it's not that the reality of the painting is different, or the reality of the gospel story is any different, but it's just that there's so much going on here that there's room for us to bring ourselves and our story into this painting. And in fact, that's how we ought to read the Bible. Not that we would be projecting meaning into the Bible, obviously, because it has a message that God has given, and that's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and is authoritative, and so we're not adding to that. But we're just talking about relating to the text of Scripture with our own lives. And so this exercise helps us to do that, Visio Divina. There's a great space for that, for us to not only get in touch with what God is doing in Mark's gospel story, but what God is doing in our lives, in our storm. And see, that's what we want to be doing with the Scripture, is integrating our life with what's going on there. So we're going to do three readings, if you will. The first is a true reading. I'm going to read to you the gospel story, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. It's a short, just, you know, six verses here. And I'm going to read it through for us meditatively. And we're going to just listen and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we do that. Then we're going to go through, and I'll pass out the copies of the painting. We're going to need a few people to share. I think we have 11 of these, so it might be just a little bit short. I kind of need to have one.
You can take a picture of it on your iPad.
Yeah. So, any questions before we begin? I'm just going to sit down here. And does anybody else want a pad of paper for in case you want to write anything down? And I'm just going to guide us through the whole process with the meditation. And the reason why we're not giving you the painting now is because we want to just start with the scripture and just focus on that, because the painting is based on that. So that's why we're doing it that way. So I'll be guiding us through the process. Just follow my prompts. There's sorts of different things we'll be doing as we go along. There'll be places where you'll have opportunity to pray or to share. There'll be times where we'll be quiet, like we usually do in Thirst, just because the quiet makes a space for us to offer our hearts to God and to listen to Him. And maybe you want to do some journaling in that time. That would be fine. So as I read the gospel passage, I want to invite you to listen for a particular word or phrase that jumps out at you. And this is the basic approach to Lectio Divina, which is just kind of simplifying our meditation. There's lots of things going on here that we might attend to, but let's trust God to lead each of us to a particular word or phrase that would be a special gift for this evening. So as I share the passage, just let the words wash over you and see if there isn't a word or phrase that the Holy Spirit draws your attention to. So, thank you, Lord, for the power that's in your word. We open our hearts now to hear from you afresh and anew. What do you want to speak to each of us today as we read the gospel passage, and then as we reflect on Rembrandt's painting of this story? Our prayer is simply, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So we'll be quiet for a few minutes, just listening for that word or phrase. Even if it's not an exact quote, don't worry about it. Just marinate in that word. This time, maybe you'd like to speak out loud the word or phrase you've been meditating on, if you have one. It would be a blessing for the rest of us. We'll do this prayerfully. There's no need for any explanation, just simply speaking out loud, whatever that word or phrase was. After someone shares, let's leave a pause of a few seconds that we all can hold in our hearts the word that our brother or sister received.
There was a great calm.
A great calm.
Why are you afraid?
Have you still no faith? What are you afraid of?
Faith.
Peace be still. With faith comes comfort and peace.
Christy's going to pass out the copies of the of Rembrandt's painting, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. This is Rembrandt's meditation. He painted this in 1633. Jesus and the disciples in the boat. The stormy sea is very dark, shrouded in shadows. There's a ray of light streaming down from the heavens to help us see what's going on in the boat. I wonder what your attention is drawn to as you just look into the painting. I'm going to give you a few minutes now. To quietly reflect on the painting and just sort of see what you notice and just soak that up. Maybe your heart will be moved to pray about something. We'll just be quiet together for a little bit as we each meditate on our painting. We continue our meditation. I'm going to guide us along in this part, prompting you with some thoughts that have come out of my study of this painting. You may not have noticed that there's a 13th person with Jesus in the boat here. Rembrandt is known to have painted himself in his paintings. Perhaps that's who the 13th person is. I think it's a helpful understanding for how we're to meditate on Scripture. As I said earlier, the Lord wants us to see ourselves in Scripture. This is the book of your life, Ray Ortlund always told me. You probably noticed that each person in the painting is reacting differently to the storm. A lot like a family or a group, including a church group. We all end up playing different roles. Sometimes the roles are dysfunctional. We all react differently to storms, to stress. Well, let's look at some of the different roles of how people are dealing with the storm on the boat here. On top. The man in the bow of the ship is on top, riding the huge wave. He's a leader, probably a professional fisherman, who's focused on his work, earnestly trimming the sail. Perhaps it's an adventure for him, or maybe he's just working hard at his job. Maybe you relate to him. Or maybe you relate to one of these other roles and positions on the boat. Fixing the problem. Three of the men, probably also experienced fishermen, are at the mast, working frantically to fix the mainsail. The gale winds have ripped the sail and snap the metal wire so the boom is disconnected from the mast. Here's another role. Barely hanging on. The huge wave is pounding the man on the left in the middle. And he's hanging on to a guy wire for dear life. Afraid. Most of the crew seem afraid, but especially the man on the right side of the boat. See how he's crouched over and looking with dread at the enormous wave that is swamping the boat. We can almost feel him trembling with anxiety. Sick. On the lower left, in back, is a distressed man with his hand on his forehead and leaning over the side of the boat. It seems he's about to throw up. We can see he's dressed in like a red shirt there. Angry at God. Two disciples appear angry at Jesus for sleeping in their storm. One shakes him awake, and the other raises his voice, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Quiet and alone. On the lower left of the boat is a man in white that is easy to miss. His back is faced to us. He's sitting still and alone. He seems to be separated from the frightening storm and the chaos going on around him in the boat. There seems to be a shadowy figure that he's looking at. Is he having a vision? Is it an angel? Lost.
A man in a blue shirt on the left side of the boat near the back is standing and holding on to a guy wire. His other hand is on his forehead as he stares blankly out of the dark sea. Maybe he's flooded with emotion and shut down. It almost seems as if he's looking to us. He's close to Jesus, but he's not looking at him. Worshiping the Lord. No one is looking at Jesus in the painting, except the two angry disciples. And the disciple kneeling at Jesus' feet. Did you see him? Only the kneeling disciple is looking at Jesus with trust and reverence. Rembrandt has painted a halo on this disciple's head to signify his faith in the Lord Jesus in the midst of the terrible storm. Thus the key is faith in Jesus in the midst of the storm. At the helm, there's one more person in the boat with Jesus. In the stern, at the very back, is a disciple at the helm holding the tiller. He must be another experienced fisherman because he's in charge of the boat. Perhaps this is Peter. He's certainly a leader, like a lot of the pastors I work with, like me. He's responsible to guide the boat's course and instruct the crew on what they need to do. Maybe his hands are tightly gripping the tiller because he's been straining to keep control of the boat. Or maybe now he's just holding the tiller lightly because he sees his friend who's kneeling at Jesus' feet, and now his own attention has also been drawn to Christ the Lord. Let's again take 2 or 3 minutes of quiet and have a spot for prayer for you to bring your storm, your personal storm in your life, to Jesus, and to reflect on, in your life today, which of these characters do you identify with? Where are you in this painting? Where are you in this gospel story? So let's be quiet and listen to our hearts and listen to God as we reflect. more part of our meditation. Let's return to the painting and direct your attention now to just focus on Jesus as he's there in the boat. Let's look closely at our Lord. Freezing rain is pelting down on him. Waves are swamping the boat. Winds are whipping against him and tossing the boat around violently. Yet Jesus is sleeping. Surely he is not unaware of the dangerous storm. Nor is he faking to be asleep. He must be napping. Certainly he is at peace. How could Jesus be so relaxed when he and his disciples were in such great danger? Was he planning all along to calm the storm? I doubt it. Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing, that always he was submitted to him. Jesus wasn't just in the boat. He was in his Abba's arms. He wasn't just in the storm. He was in the kingdom of God. He was at peace because he trusted the Father to care for them, no matter what happened. This is why, after he calmed the storm, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" On the surface, it's a ridiculously funny question. The disciples must have looked at each other incredulously afterwards. Let's see. Why were we so afraid? Oh, it was the storm that nearly drowned us all at sea. It was being next to someone who had the power to calm the storm with a word. Jesus was being sincere. If they learned to live with him and the Father in the kingdom of the heavens, then they wouldn't be afraid, even in a terrible storm. Jesus was so relaxed that God's peace permeated his body. This is the hidden miracle in this story we might miss. It was the grand miracle of the Son of God calming the storm with a word. But the first and hidden miracle is Jesus calmed in the boat in the middle of the storm. Think about this. It was the peace in Jesus' body that he spoke into the storm, and which then calmed the seas and calmed the disciples. In Rembrandt's painting, if you look closely at Jesus, you might notice that it seems he is looking to the opening in the heavens, where the light is breaking through. Most everyone else in the boat is either looking at the storm or at what they're trying to do to secure themselves. Maybe we can relate. In storms, maybe we look at the storm or what we're trying to do to fix things. Jesus is the only person in the boat who sees the source of light in the heavens. Notice also that the light of God is not just coming from the heavens, but it's also glowing from Jesus' body. Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. He is the light of the world and the Prince of Peace. The disciple kneeling at Jesus' feet sees Jesus' light. Perhaps the disciple at the tiller is also drawn to Jesus' light. By the way, did you see the symbol of the cross right in the middle of Rembrandt's painting? Let's be quiet again for a couple minutes, and this time I invite you to focus in on what is the Lord's personal invitation for you today. Consider whatever storm or stress you are facing in your life. What is Jesus' invitation to you?
Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'd love to hear about your experience with the meditation, anything that you might want to share, anything that you saw in the painting or the way that you related. Yeah, Quinn.
There's one more person right there. There's 14 by 13.
Yeah, that's the shadowy figure. I referenced that the man in white seemed to be looking at him. And I said, is that a vision or is that an angel?
Oh, yeah, there's,
if you count
13.
That would be 14. But 15.
Actually, if you count, that person was 14, there's 13. I think the guy looking out was Rembrandt, because I've seen Rembrandt before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You'll notice he's breaking the fourth wall. He's the only one that does. He's looking at the viewer who's looking at the painting. Mm-hmm. He's saying, come on in. What do you think of this?
Uh-huh.
In that sense, he sort of acts like a gateway into the picture and into the scene.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of the places your eyes tend to focus. There are several places in this picture where your eyes can focus, but he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that strikes me always when I read this is, it really struck me tonight reading it. It says they brought him in the boat just as he was, and then he went asleep. He must have been exhausted.
Mm.
He must have been exhausted. And he wasn't planning on doing anything except going over to the other side. And he didn't say, let's go out in the middle of the lake, break up and drown. He said, let's go over to the other side. So he was really kind of surprised that they didn't, you know, here they are in this thing, this is the port, they're trying to control the boat, which is pointless, and, you know, control the problem was the boat, the problem was the storm, and Jesus, to me, looks like he's just waking up here, he's like, huh, what?
Uh-huh.
And a few seconds later, he's going to say, peace, be still, everything's going to calm down, he says, why didn't you guys do that? Where's your faith? They didn't get it. They never got it. They were like chickens. Big thing.
Well, they had just seen him feed the thousands with a few loaves,
I know,
right?
But my point is, they could have said it. He'd said, go over to the other side. They could have said, hey, the Lord said, go over to the other side. Be still. Get out of our way.
So you think, Karen, you might have done that if you'd been in the boat?
Well, I don't know if I would or wouldn't. I think that takes the Holy Spirit. And maybe, except for John in here, they really didn't have that anointing yet.
Hmm.
This picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was something he was always trying to teach them, you know. By your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. And, you know, when he said something, he meant what he said.
Mm-hmm.
His words were power. He is the word.
So you're making the point that Jesus was confident all along they were going to get to the other side of the lake.
Yeah, they're going to get to the other side. Heck,
no. Anybody else? Thought or experience you'd like to share or a question? Yeah, Murph.
Something I've missed in all the times I've read is that Jesus went into sleep, but he had a pillow.
Mm.
And, mm-hmm. You know, that is something you wouldn't have. This is a tiny story. I mean,
yeah.
It's important, but it's tiny.
Right, yeah.
And the writer put that in there, that had some importance, that he was comfortable, he was human, he was cozy, you know, probably all the things that we would always like to be ourselves all the time. I go everywhere, I've got my own pillow, I'm traveling, you know.
That's true, I try to do the same thing. If the pillow's too big and too fat, it gets me sore. Mm-hmm. And that,
Jesus needed a pillow. He didn't really need it. He wanted it, see, because it was comfortable. And I think that's what he wants us to be at times, is comfortable.
Hmm.
So he sets all kinds of examples, even comfort.
Hmm. Good. We don't need to feel guilty about seeking comfort.
Right.
Yeah, Rick.
Yeah, one of the things I kind of picked up on this is we all face our own storms in life, and we handle each storm differently. And each one of these people in this boat are looking in different directions, which
mm-hmm.
symbolizes to me that we don't address our storms in the same way each time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do in each one of those storms is always turn to Jesus.
That's right.
We always seek Him, seek His advice and His wisdom to work through those storms. But so often, we may be looking up or we may be looking down, so it's important for us to visualize each one of these people and say, hey, I handle my storm sometimes by ignorance or by ignoring it instead of turning to Jesus for guidance. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a different interpretation. But
those are good thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we do is we focus on, like, our job or our the way we think we can fix the storm, the way we think
right.
we can secure ourselves.
But the focus really it has to be on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the only way we can get through it.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that there's really, of all these people in the boat, there's really only one that's
right.
truly focused on Jesus
yeah.
in the right way. Maybe Peter is beginning to.
Yeah.
Do you think, too, as we started, I think, you know, the storm was being one episode, but then as I meditated, I thought, maybe it's also just life on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because life on earth has storms of varying degrees.
Yeah.
So, and just dwelling in that peace throughout life on earth, not just in storm. You know.
Well, the point is, he said to you, let's go over to the other side. That means you're going to go over this other side, whatever storms might come up. You're going to get there. You don't have to let the storm destroy you. Which the seasick guy was letting the storm destroy him. Pretty close. And the guy who was cringing, the same thing. They were both in different ways, letting the storm destroy them. The other guys were trying, as I said, save the boat. The boat was on the offering, control the boat. But, you know, it was Jesus who was able to control.
So the 12 disciples, why are they 13 people here?
Well, Rembrandt liked to paint himself in his painting, so that's one theory, is that Rembrandt painted himself in there. And then, you know, I'm adding to that and actually Karen's interpretation that Rembrandt is a guy in blue leaning on that guy wire looking out at us and sort of inviting us to join him in the painting. I think that's part of the idea of there being 13 in there is, okay, well, where are you? And so that's what we're doing in this meditation is, you know, where are you? And maybe some of you would like to share. As I told you, I've identified with Peter and I've been both Peters, the one that's straining at that oar to try to get the ship under control and then the one that maybe is beginning to see the point of all this and looking to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I want to learn to be calm in the storm. And I have been learning that in recent years especially. In fact, I would suggest that's where the power comes from. Calm the storm. I mean, actually, the power comes from God. But if we're not at peace in the storm, I mean, you can't imagine any of these frantic or fearful or sick, you know, or emotionally overloaded disciples being in a position of faith that you've been talking about, Karen, to take the Lord at His word. I mean, you know, to hear God's voice and to act in faith, we need to be in that have that vision of Christ and have Him in our heart, and peace would be a sign of that. How about some others of you? Is there a character that you identify with that you want to share with us?
Well, the angels in the cabin, I see he was inviting them to come in. Nobody goes in.
Oh, you think the angels down there are saying, hey, it's calmer down here. Come on down here. That's an interesting thought. But that's where you'd like to be, maybe.
It's small. The cabin is small.
But there'd be room for you in there.
I don't know. If I were inclined to be seasick, that's the last place I'd want to be.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting.
I sympathize with the guy who's throwing up.
Yeah. It's interesting that Jesus is in the stern, because if you wanted to take a nap, that's not where you would go.
Mm-hmm.
But he was with where his disciples could be with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally, as I said, I don't think Jesus is so, you know, he probably is just waking up at this moment in the painting, but I don't think he was so zonked out that he was completely oblivious to the storm. It's hard to imagine that you wouldn't have some awareness of rain and perhaps thunder and lightning and all this chaos and the boat being rocked around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you wouldn't think that Jesus would be faking it. That wouldn't fit what we know about Jesus. So there must have been something in between being totally conked out, oblivious, and faking it. He must have been truly relaxed.
Also, the Galilee storms come up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I've heard this from many people.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there myself, but I've heard people say that they go out there and see it. And everything was all calm.
Mm-hmm.
And poof, there's a storm. Whoa, where did that come from? It's very common that happened.
But it had to be going on for a little while for the disciples to get so frightened and all that water to be coming in the boat. Surely was a number of minutes and not just seconds. So there was some period of time that Jesus was sleeping through the storm. At least I have trouble understanding the story. That's not the case. So, others of you, somebody you identify with in the painting that you'd like to share with us or ask a question about?
Well, is the guy with the halo, do you think that's John?
Could be. That's the fun thing about it, is that we don't know.
I didn't necessarily identify with any particular characters, but the picture in general, right away I noticed something to me. And that the bright yellow clouds to the left of the mass seemed to be like a large face, and I took that as God looking upward. And trailing behind that, it kind of like rays of the sun. It sort of looks like an angel, and I took that as being the Holy Spirit. And so that's God and the Holy Spirit there. And I've been struggling a little bit with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit being three separate people or one kind of thing. So that's what I wrote down was, have you still no faith? And I was thinking that Jesus was the third right there in the boat, but then you pointed out right there in the middle of it was the cross. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God, Holy Spirit, Jesus right there all in the center. And I guess I should just take that as just, you know, faith. You know, I just need to have faith that there's three or one and not three separate.
Mm.
But thanks for pointing out the cross, by the way, because it was like right there in the center, I didn't notice it. And kind of tying all the other two together.
But that's what struck me too, and I hadn't seen that before, because I've done this meditation before, and I hadn't seen the face in the upper left before until today. That's what struck me, that was that Father too.
Really? Awesome.
I saw the Trinity in this for the
Sweet.
First time tonight.
Yeah, it's like answering my question that we started off with.
Thanks. It's hard to see that face. I
tried to point it out.
Christy pointed
out.
That's
why I got up and showed
it. I need more faith.
Yeah, it's just kind of like his brow ridge, his nose, and his mouth.
Yeah, that's what Christy said. She sees the line in Judah there.
Yeah.
The left corner.
Like the big giant face of God, and then there's the Holy Spirit kind of out behind, and then Jesus right in the middle. And I didn't see the Jesus. I just thought that was Jesus.
You know. You see an elephant. We're making progress.
How
about a giraffe? Anybody see a giraffe? Well, I wonder what storm you were praying about. I was praying in particular for our daughters. Christy shared a bit about that in the beginning, and their college decisions, and my posture in those situations. Those are two different storms in our family life, and in one of those situations, I had a bit of frustration that I reacted to the stress not in the best way, and then I had a chance to come back at the conversation and be more calm, and so. You know, I was kind of one of those guys trying to fix things. And then I found my way to the feet of Jesus to stay calm, listen, pray, and resolve things.
a nose and a mouth.
Well, that's the fun thing about clouds. You can see different things. Different people see different things.
Lot.
What helps you to be at peace in a storm?
Focusing on Jesus.
What helps you to do that?
Trusting Him.
Trust, faith.
Certainly Scripture helps us. Maybe it helps us to be in community. And so we have this disciple kneeling at Jesus' feet, the one with the halo on his head, and he's an inspiration. Seems to Peter, he might be, maybe eventually to others. That helps me.
I think we were at, and somebody said that, you know, the storms in our lives is not just a one-time event, but it's, you know, different times in our lives. And we act differently probably. And,
That's right.
Some of us try to fix it. Some of us panic. Some of us, you know, but I think we get to a point, hopefully, when we get mature enough, but as Christians, to go down, you know, like this guy in front of the Lord Jesus Christ healing. That's the best place to be. That's the best way to react to a storm. But we react differently. I mean, you know, guys would probably try to fix things first. And other people would probably panic. But if we get to that point where we can kneel before the Lord and say, and see the peace in His face, and His countenance, and then, you know, that is the best place to be. That's the best way to face those storms in our lives.
Yeah, so different people react differently to stress, have different roles that they play. But also, each one of us, you know, in different storms, I might identify with different people here.
That's what I was going to say. I have sometimes when I try to fix it, sometimes I need somebody to talk to about it. Sometimes the Lord just tells me something, and I go, oh, thank you. That helped me. I mean, it's never exactly the same response or reaction. Maybe it's the right word. It's a variety of things. So you can look at this, or I could, and say that a lot of these people at one time or another could be me. With the exception of Jesus.
Well, Christ lives in you.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to say, but the Holy Spirit is in us,
Could you be two people at once?
Well, maybe. What are you thinking?
Well, could you be someone who's maybe like those guys that are working hard, trying to fix things, but also be at peace?
Yes, that's great. Because I think that the guy at the helm, you know, that I that's what I see in that. And of course, maybe that's true of Peter, or maybe that's Bill projecting Bill into that. But I see the opportunity for me is just what you said, Marlene, that I'm in my realm of responsibility. I have the opportunity to help guide this boat, but Jesus is in charge. And so I want to carry out my responsibility under Christ's leadership and have His peace be ruling in me. So instead of straining at that oar, you know, and sort of fighting to be in cooperation with Jesus and in the easy yoke of Jesus, you see. So yeah, I think that we could, you know, to the extent there's different jobs to be done, well, what if somebody would pause and look at Jesus and then get a hold of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and His peace, and then carry on with doing with whatever it is they could do on the boat with Jesus. I think that's a great application of this. And maybe we have to start by joining the disciple at Jesus' feet. Maybe that helps us get into that posture, but eventually we want to get to the place where we integrate that humble, prayerfulness and worship of the Lord into our daily work and responsibility and dealing with stress.
Right, or just trust or faith. That's what he calls us to.
Well, it's time for a closing prayer. So we would appreciate having these pictures back so we can reuse them. What I can do for you, though, is I can email you the copy of the picture online and also the meditation that we just did. So I'm happy to do that. Or if you have any other requests or questions, just let me know or send me an email. So, thank you, Lord, for this great meditation. Thank you for Rembrandt's painting. It's just really marvelous with its inspirational value and the opportunity to really step into the gospel story in a new way. Thank you for the things that you're speaking to us, the ways that you're encouraging us to follow you and to walk with you in the storms in our life. Yes, Lord, help us to have your peace in the midst of our storms and to find power through you, Lord, to trust you, to speak your words to the storms in our lives. Peace, be still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.